This is number 7. We're going to turn our attention at this point in our discussion to the concept of building an organization. The idea of the organizing process. You realize, of course, that an organization without structure can result in confusion. It can result in frustration. Certainly a loss of efficiency. There'd be limited effectiveness. Perhaps the following quotation would illustrate. "You can't tell me what to do. Only Larry can. He's my boss." When did the advertising department start reporting to Frank? I thought it was part of John's department. "Can I please have a decision on this requisition? What do I need to do? Who do I need to see? Who is in charge here anyway?" Well, in these next few moments, we want to discuss what an organization is, why an organization is necessary. We want to see something of the organizing process, and certainly we want to see some key concepts in managing the organization, perhaps a little bit about types of organizational structure, and certainly something about an informal organization. Of course, you realize that all around you, every day, are examples of organizations that you come in contact with. We think of churches, missionary organizations, schools, seminaries, social clubs, athletic teams, local governments, nonprofit groups. But what do we mean by organizations? And why do they exist? An organization is a group of two or more people that exist and operate to achieve clearly stated, commonly held objectives. This particular definition is a definition which probably emphasizes many of the things that would be true in your own organizational work. It's a definition given by Joseph Straub and Raymond Attner in their book Introduction to Business, and I think it's quite appropriate. A business, of course, is an organization. A school is an organization. It was created by owners, managers, to achieve a specific goal. It's there to provide something. It's there to provide a product. It's there to provide a service. It's there to provide a ministry to a customer, to a client. When managers create an organization, they actually are developing a framework in which certain things are going to happen. First, we could say it's a framework to operate effectively. And then I think secondly, we could say it's a framework to reach the organization's objectives. And then thirdly, it is a framework to provide, if it's a business organization, if it's a profit-making organization, it's certainly a framework to provide a profit. Now, this framework establishes the operating relationships of people. For example, it's going to determine who supervises whom, who reports to whom. It's going to determine what departments or divisions are necessary for the functioning of the work. It's going to also to determine what kind of work is going to be performed in each one of those departments or each one of those divisions. So, again, an organization is a group of two or more people that exist and operates to achieve clearly stated, commonly held objectives. This framework is known as a formal organization, the official organization that top management conceives and builds. Now, a formal organization does not just happen. It is developed by managers through the organizational functioning of management, which, of course, we discussed early on in our cassette lectures. We find that managers build, and managers also will modify organization by using the organizing process. There are several steps that have been identified in this organizing process. And again, we are summarizing these and sharing these as they are presented in the book Introduction to Business by Joseph Straub and Raymond Attner. But I think very, very certainly very fitting for this point in our conversation. Step one, as we're thinking about the organizing process, step one, consider objectives and plans. Now, earlier in our discussion, we mentioned that objectives and plans affect organizing and its results, which, of course, is the organization. As plans change and as new objectives are developed, new departments or divisions may be created, old ones may be given new responsibilities, and some may even cease to exist. Objectives and plans, remember, are the starting point. An example of how plans, and more specifically, changes in plans, are the foundation for organizational structure is provided by a business example in Chevron, USA. Following an internal study, Chevron modified its plans to focus both its exploration and production efforts on international prospects rather than the United States. The result of this change in plans, the corporation's exploration, land, and production regions based in California, Houston, and New Orleans will be eliminated. In turn, the reorganization will involve the creation of an exploration unit in Houston. 5 production units will be located in key geographical areas, and 7 business units will each be directly responsible for its own financial performance. But again, why were these changes made? These changes were made because, as we see, there were changes in plan. So you have to examine the objectives of your organization. You have to consider why your organization is in existence. Why are we here? Then, as we're thinking about the organizing process, we said step one, consider objectives and plans. Step number two, determine the necessary work activities. What work activities are necessary to accomplish the identified organizational objectives? Now, creating a list of tasks to be accomplished begins with those that will be ongoing tasks, and then ends with unique or one-time-only tasks. Hiring, training, record-keeping are part of the regular routine of running of any organization. But what, in addition, are the unique needs of this organization? Does it include assembling, machining, shipping, sorting, inspecting, selling, advertising, some form of specialized ministry, some form of specialized delivery service in ministry, some teaching work in ministry? Identify all activities necessary. Once managers know what tasks must be done, then they are ready to classify and group these activities into manageable work units. So, we're thinking about the organizational process. We said the first step is to consider the objectives and plans of your organization. The second step is to determine the necessary work activities. And then the third step, classify and group these activities. Now, this third step is actually challenging managers to perform 3 basic, fundamental, and important processes. First, examine each activity identified to determine its general nature. What kind of activity is this? Is it a ministry activity? Is it a teaching activity? Is it an evangelistic activity? Is it marketing? Is it production? Is it finance? Is it personnel? Is it preaching? Examine each activity, identify to determine its general nature. And then the second process, group the activities into these related areas. So as you've identified this particular activity would fall in this area, this particular activity is in this area. So you begin to classify, you begin to relate these to their areas of responsibility and outreach. Then thirdly, based upon what you've done in these first two processes, establish the basic departmental design for your organizational structure. Now, in practice, the first two processes, which we mentioned, occur simultaneously. For example, selling, advertising, shipping, storing can be considered marketing-relating activities. Thus, they are grouped under marketing. Assembling, cutting, machining, welding, painting, inspecting. These are manufacturing processes. They can be grouped as production. Personnel-related activities include hiring, training, developing, recruiting, compensating. Work that is similar in nature, similar in tasks, similar in processes, or similar in skills, are placed together to achieve organizational objectives. This, of course, certainly helps in the outworking of the organizational purpose. As these tasks are defined, as these tasks are classified, as these tasks are grouped into related work units, then the third process, that is establishing the basic department design for the organizational structure, the third process, departmentalization, is being finalized. Now, departmentalization is the process of creating the basic format or departmental structure for the organization, forming groups, departments, divisions on the basis of the objectives of the organization. We're always going back to why we're here. We're not here just to occupy space and time. We're not here just to keep some kind of machinery running, but there's actually something that we are supposed to be accomplishing. Management chooses a departmental type. Now, there's several departmental types, and you'll probably see these as you do continued study in the area of management and business and organization, leadership, and administration. It could be a functional department. It could be a geographic department. It could be a territorial department. It could be a customer department. It could even be a product line department. Now, the functional department is probably the most common approach. Functional departmentalization groups activities under major headings that nearly every organization has in common. For example, finance is certainly a part of a functional department. The idea of production is certainly a part. What we're going to put together and offer is certainly a part of a functional department. Marketing. How are we going to advertise? How are we going to let our people know that this is available? We have a particular ministry for perhaps single adults in a local church. Well, it's one thing to put that program together, to have that ministry in place, to have leaders and materials. But now, what's the next step? It has to be marketed. It has to in some way be communicated to that constituency that we are trying to minister to. And you could even escalate this on the church level. You have a church, you have a building, you have a location, and within that location you have many different activities that are taking place, all with certain ministry related. Now, how is the community going to know about that? Purpose is outreach. Purpose is bringing the lost to Christ. The purpose is building up the Christian community. The purpose is edification and the things of the Lord. Well, how do we let the community know? That's what marketing is all about. The idea of communicating what we have in such a way that it is conducive to the needs of our community, that it gains the attention of those to whom we want to minister, and it gains their attention in such a way that they say, man, I'm interested in that. I like that. I want to be a part of that. And that's the whole purpose of putting together our production, putting together our programs. It's not just so we can have something to print up in a book or present to a denominational statistician who's putting together information on what all the churches of the denomination are doing, but it's for the purpose of reaching people. So that's certainly a functional department of what we are. So finance, production, marketing, personnel, got to have people. Sunday school class has to have a teacher, for example. Youth ministry has to have workers. Children's church has to have workers. Bus ministry has to have workers. What missionary organization has to have missionaries to send out on the field, support people that back home doing the work to support. I mean, all of this is involved. And this is again a part of functional departmentalization: finance, production, marketing, personnel. These are the functions of the organization. In other words, the entire organization would actually be divided into these particular departments so that you would have a finance department, a production or in the church setting, a ministry department, marketing or advertising, and personnel. These are functional ways that you can actually divide the work within your organization to make the work more efficient. Functional approach is certainly a logical way for most organizations to departmentalize. What each person or unit does or will do actually becomes the basis of organizing. This method helps to avoid overlapping the execution of basic activities. Lines are clearly drawn between each of these functional areas. Then there's another approach. Again, we're talking about departmentalization, and we said departmentalization is a process of creating the basic format or departmental structure for the organization. It's forming groups, departments, and divisions on the basis of the objectives of the organization. One way that this can be done, this is what we've been discussing, is functional departmentalization, where the group activities are under the major headings that nearly every organization has in common: finance, production, marketing, personnel. Then a second approach for departmentalization is known as the geographic or territorial departmentalization. Now, geographic or territorial departmentalization groups activities and responsibilities according to geography. And this especially probably has more of an application if the organization is large. The organization reaches beyond one city. The organization reaches beyond the state, into several states, or perhaps the whole country, or perhaps around the world. This may have implication for denominational work, for example, where the denomination is reaching the entire nation, and through missionaries reaching around the world. It certainly would have implication for the mission board work, or perhaps a charity, which is a large, maybe even a worldwide organization. So this is one approach. Expanding organizations often will locate their plants or sales or repair facilities in various parts of the country because of favorable labor, material costs, tax incentives, easy access to transportation, or the need to be near customers to serve them more effectively. And in that case, you might have, for example, an eastern regional division, and then a western regional division, or northern regional division, a southern regional division. I had an opportunity for 5 years to serve in a wonderful organization, the Salvation Army. And, of course, the Salvation Army is a worldwide Christian charitable organization, also a church ministry. And the Salvation Army is certainly divided into this particular departmental grouping as far as geography is concerned. Even, for example, in the United States, the United States is divided into certain divisions, and then the divisions are a part of territories. And, of course, this is done to help organize the work within those particular territories as they are ministering and reaching out to the people who are so important in their ministry work. So there's functional departmentalization, there's geographic and territorial departmentalization. There's also, in certain organizations, what is known as product departmentalization. Now, product departmentalization assembles the activities of creating, producing, and marketing each product into one department. For example, maybe you have thinking on the business end of things, there's a typewriter and calculator department. And that's what they do. This form should be considered if each product requires a unique marketing strategy or a unique production process, or perhaps a unique distribution system, or perhaps even a one-of-a-kind capital resources. Production departments result in attention, energy, and effort being focused on a particular product. Marketing-oriented companies often will capitalize on the strengths of production departmentalization. And then another type of departmentalization is customer departmentalization. Customer departmentalization groups activities and resources in response to the needs of specific customer groups. For example, an industry that makes use of this form of departmentalization would be illustrated by the travel industry. Fast-growing travel agencies realize that their potential lies in meeting the demands of two distinct types of customers: corporate customers and private individuals. Each has its own individual needs. Each customer group has a different set of demands, needs, and preferences. In turn, each requires a different set of approaches, a different set of customs, and a different set of operations. There would certainly be application of this in a local church setting, because a local church, by its very nature, is reaching many different groups of individuals, different groups of clients, different groups of constituents, different groups of those in the congregation. You certainly are going to minister to children. You're going to minister to young people. You're going to minister to adults. And even when you think about children, that has to be broken down further, because you're certainly not going to minister in the nursery department the same way that you would minister in the teen department. There's certainly different individuals, different needs. When you think about adults, this again must be broken down. You have young adults, you have middle adults, you have older adults, you have single adults, you have widowed adults, you have divorced adults. I mean, you just go through the whole list of the clientele that you're going to minister to, and perhaps many of the things that you're going to do in a local church setting would come down to what is identified here as customer departmentalization, again, because you're thinking about the activities and the resources that you need to respond to that specific group. All right, well, again, what are we considering? At this point, we're looking at the organizing process. We said step number one is to consider the objectives and plans. Step number two is to determine the necessary work activities. Step number three is to classify and to group these activities. And we especially spent some time here talking about departmentalization, and we mentioned the various departmental approaches that are used. There's functional departmentalization, geographic departmentalization, product departmentalization, and customer departmentalization. Step number four, assign work and delegate appropriate authority. Management has identified the activities necessary to achieve objectives and certainly has classified and grouped these activities in the major operational areas and now has selected a departmental structure. The activity at this point must be assigned to individuals who are simultaneously given the appropriate authority to accomplish the task. Each time a department is created or an organization is reorganized by either eliminating or reassigning a work group, the activity that or the department needs to be assigned and authority delegated to implement this particular action. And then step number five, design a hierarchy of relationships.